ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show, special report, Quantum Shift in the Court, Part 2. Hello,
you
Diane.
Couldn't get it all into Part 1.
No, and listen, I got to apologize. I don't know what happened there at the very top of the show. We're supposed to go into the launch sequence, and it went into something else all by itself.
Oh, okay.
But I think I got it all straightened away now. So,
okay.
You know, for folks that are listening to the podcast on Podbean later, it's going to sound like a little bit of a jumbled mess there right at the beginning. But yeah, you know, technical glitch.
Hey, as long as it's straightened out, who cares?
Well, we're going to find out as the show goes on because I think I've got all the elements put back in their proper place.
Okay.
But if the thing's got a mind of its own tonight, no guarantees.
Okay.
You know,
we'll find out.
And that happens every once in a while. The Sam broadcaster just decides it's going to go on its own. And
true.
You know. So,
and not just for us folks. It happens to other people as well.
Yeah, it's just part of live radio.
Right.
What that's all about. But you're right, Diane. We could not get the whole quantum shift in the court into one special report. Now, we did a special report on Tuesday, and we mm-hmm. talked about a lot of the issues that were cropping up on Tuesday, what with the nomination coming up for the next Supreme Court justice. And, you know, we covered a lot of ground on Tuesday, but there is more ground to be covered.
Yes. Yes, there is. And remember, guys, the nomination is coming out tomorrow. And contrary to what you hear on the liberal media, President Trump has every legal and constitutional right to appoint whomever and it to go through before the election.
Now, as I understand it, and you may have other information, but as I understand it, that announcement is supposed to be made at about 5 o'clock tomorrow. That's Eastern time, 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. That's 4 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone where real people live.
I don't know why he's holding it off so long. I mean, it would make more sense to do it in the morning, but maybe that's to throw the idiot rioters that you know are going to be out there, no matter who he nominates. So maybe it's to give not enough time to do as much damage as we know it's going to be done.
Well, that could be it. It could be he has other things on the schedule that he couldn't get out of, and he still wanted to do it on Saturday. Whatever the case is, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. Now, I'm going to be out and about tomorrow. I am going to have to hustle my butt back here to make sure I'm sitting squarely in front of my TV at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my time, to be able to watch that live.
If you learned how to use your phone for something besides a phone, you can get it live through the phone.
Well, but it's a phone, Diane. It's meant for making phone calls. And unless the president calls me, so I'm on the phone with him, you know, it's not going to happen on my phone.
Craig is the only one, guys. He's got a smartphone just like everybody else, but he doesn't use the smart part of the phone.
Look,
he uses the phone part of the phone.
If I could get a steam-driven cell phone with a rotary dial, that's what I'd have.
Ah, okay. And yeah. I can and have run the station off of an iPhone when need be.
Well, you know, I mean, look, here's the thing. I could probably hear it, you know, audio-wise on my cell phone. I can't get the TV signal on my cell phone.
True.
I want to see it.
You can. You just have to put it into your phone, but...
Well, I want to be sitting in front of my big screen TV with a big bowl of popcorn and a nice cold beverage. I want to be nice and comfortable on the couch and be able to watch this thing in all of its glory. And you can't do that on a cell phone. So
that's very true. That's very, very true. It's going to be very interesting because some of the liberal media sites are saying he's already picked Amy Comey Barrett. Others are saying don't rush to judgment so fast. Chances are it will be her. But anything that the liberal media says, I wouldn't believe until we see it from our side.
You're like I am. You don't trust them as far as you could throw a piano.
No. You know, they're knocking Trump in the polls and all this and that. But the crowds say it all who turn up for President Trump's rallies. When Biden gets off a plane, supposedly to meet people, he's waving to an empty field. So the polls, you know, you got to take them with a grain of salt, folks.
Well, you do. You look at the crowds that show up for rallies. You look at the enthusiasm level.
Mm-hmm.
It's sky high for President Trump, and it's somewhere near the bottom of the Marianas Trench right now for Joe Biden. So
it is.
You know, you got to look at things that way, and you can pretty much gauge where Trump is at in the polls by the reaction of liberals to the things he says and does. If they thought they were firmly in control, they'd be going, Supreme Court nominee.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
But they are fit to be tied right now.
Oh, they're so fit to be tied, Craig. As you know, the House Democrats are planning to introduce a bill to set an 18-year term limit, not only, you know, for the Supreme Court justices, but actually dictate when the president, any president, can and cannot, and how many said president can nominate. In fact, what they're trying to do is change the writing of the Constitution itself, which says Supreme Court justices are appointed for life. But then again, you know, the Democrat Party is the party of the Constitution be damned.
Well, that's true. And correct me if I'm wrong about this. Seems to me if you're going to set term limits on Supreme Court justices, and if you're going to do that kind of thing, don't you have to have a constitutional amendment?
Of course you do, and they'll never get it. I mean, you know, they're trying any and everything. Look, they know they can't be Trump. So they're like a magician. They're pulling things out of their hat, out of their pockets. They have nothing to go by. In fact, Pelosi said that if Trump actually goes through with officially nominating someone, it goes to the Senate, she's going to start impeachment proceedings again.
Well, but now she has actually backed away from that because she realizes that she's screwed and the Democrat Party is screwed if she tried it. She came out late this afternoon and she said it's
online. Okay.
Yeah, she came out late this afternoon. She said, nah, it's not worth my time. It's not worth my effort.
She's full of crap. It's not worth the fact that it's legal what he's doing. He is allowed, as per the Constitution, to nominate whomever he wants, whenever he wants, if there's a vacancy, obviously.
Right, but that's not going to stop the liberals, because they're talking about, you know, hey, if we can get power in the Senate, we're going to stack the Supreme Court.
No, they're not, because they're not going to get the Senate.
I agree. You know,
I think it's going to be a clean sweep of monumental proportions.
Do you? I mean, like across the board sweep.
I think it's going to be an across the board sweep, because remember, there were still a number of Kennedy Democrats out there, and they are sick and tired of the BS as well. Of course, not the uber left, but the mainstream Democrats are not happy either. They won't say it, but when you talk to them individually, they're as fed up as we are.
That might be properly classified as the silent minority.
Right. Right. I mean, look, you can only watch that TV and see things like, okay, this black person was shot. Time to riot again, folks.
Well,
people are sick of it.
I think people are sick of it. And I think you're right. I think it's across the board. You know, people have grown tired of the crap,
yes.
And that's what they're seeing. Now, let's spend a few minutes here talking about some of the crap swirling the punch bowl where it comes to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, okay?
Yes.
They've got her laying in state at the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump come to pay their respects, and they get booed.
That is total disrespect. Total disrespect. He's, whether you like it or not, this man is president of the United States. He has every right to be there to pay his respect. As far as my research went, while he and Ginsburg were miles apart, you know, on their political views, there wasn't any animosity, personal animosity between the two.
No, and even when the president found out that she had passed away, literally in the middle of our show, a week ago tonight,
right.
In fact, you know, he was just getting ready to board Air Force One after a rally, and somebody asked him, reporter shouted out a question. He had not yet been told that Ginsburg had passed, and
right.
Even in that moment of complete candor, he was completely respectful.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And, you know, those people that booed him, they're not just booing the president, they're booing this country. And if you're going to boo the president and this country at a funeral, at something, somebody is laying in state, maybe you don't belong in this country.
You certainly don't belong out in public.
No.
You know, look,
no, maybe you belong with Uncle Joe, you know, hiding in the basement.
I mean, obviously, everybody's got a First Amendment right, you know, and you know, if they want to boo the president, they have that right. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, endowed by our Creator, you know, that's all there. But, you know, there's a certain decorum at a wake or a funeral or, you know, where you have somebody like Ginsburg laying in state in the Capitol building, for goodness sakes, you know.
You know what it is? Civilized men and women show a modicum of decorum. Democrat animals don't give a hoot about decorum or respect.
It's not in their wheelhouse.
No.
But I mean, I just thought that was crass. You know, it's just completely crass. Now, here's another little tidbit that went on. Apparently, who knew? Ruth Bader Ginsburg had a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm. For years.
Okay, I can't see her pumping iron or running marathons or, you know, You know, I mean, I don't know what a personal trainer does with somebody that small, that frail, and that old. But she had a personal trainer.
Do you know what it is? It's not a personal trainer, let's say, like you and I would have. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has had cancer for a number of years. She's had 5 different bouts of cancer. And sometimes when you've had the chemo and the radiation and you go into remission, through the Cancer Society, you do sometimes work out with trainers to rebuild yourself to the best you can be, to strengthen bones that are affected by radiation and chemo, to do this and that, to just build you back up. It's not a trainer like we think a trainer is.
Well, okay. Then why did her personal trainer, next to her casket, as she's laying in state in the Capitol, drop and do some push-ups?
Now, push-ups are part of medical strengthening, but the guy's an idiot. What can I say?
That's what I'm getting at. See, yeah. I knew you'd see the meaning in this. Look, let's face it. Ginsburg wasn't doing push-ups.
No.
Okay. This guy comes in there and, to use your air quotes, honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg, he drops down next to the casket and does some push-ups. I mean, who does that?
Well, you want to know something? What the Democrats did to the woman they so idolized, they actually made a mockery of her laying in state with their theatrics, with their booing, their push-ups, and the other antics that they pulled. They actually made a mockery of the woman that they, you know, so honored.
I can't disagree with that. You know, I mean, this is insanity. Yes. You know, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg's personal trainer is going to do push-ups while she's laying in state, I shudder to think what Bill Clinton's trainer is going to do when he's laying in state.
They'll be drinking and toasting each other with full glasses. I mean, I don't
know. Well, I'm afraid his personal trainer is going to stain somebody's dress.
Yeah, right.
You know? I mean, for God's sakes, people. Then there was this. Yesterday or the day before in the Capitol, Pelosi and Chuckles Schumer are parading around wearing those lacy doily type collars that Ginsburg always wore, you know, to honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, that's the same kind of honor. Remember when they wore the African cloth, which turned out to be a mark of slavery?
Oops.
Yeah, this was another oops.
Oops.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg wore those lacy things because they were feminine and because they were hiding, you know, certain scars and stuff from all her medical issues. These people are insane.
Well, I saw a great meme. Had a picture of Chuckles and Nancy Pelosi wearing those collars, traipsing through the hallowed halls of the Capitol, looking ever so smug and arrogant while they were doing it. And I said, what are these two people doing? Pandering to dead voters?
Well, you know, Ruth is going to be voting.
At least once.
At least once. And we're serious, folks.
At least once. You know, but these are the antics. You know, they're trying to put forth through the mainstream media propaganda machine that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was some sort of saintly woman, that she is somebody to be revered and honored, and she's a martyr to the cause of women's rights, and, you know, all this stuff. And then, like you said, they go and make a mockery of the entire process of burying the woman.
Yes. You know, laying in state has only had a certain number of people laying in state. And we did have two police officers, civilians that were given that honor. This whole thing, it's beyond belief what they did. Because this woman, when you think about it, folks, she was anti, she was pro-abortion.
Anti-nuclear family.
Anti-nuclear family, exactly. That's the anti I was thinking of. Anti-nuclear family. She wanted contraception given out to everybody at government expense. You don't have to pay for it, whatever. This woman, she didn't care about all the babies that didn't get to live their lives.
No, she didn't give a...
Not one iota, did she care about that?
She didn't give a rat's ass about that, but she did give a rat's ass about the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, because she wanted girls to be able to join the Boy Scouts and boys to be able to join the Girl Scouts, which would have literally wiped them out.
You notice how well that worked out.
Yeah, not at all. But not I mean, this is the type of person she was. She was a far-left activist. She was an activist before she was a judge, and she was an activist as a judge.
Right. She didn't follow the Constitution. She followed a political agenda. She was the epitome of an activist judge, which is against what a judge is supposed to be. She has stated many times, she did not approve of Roe v. Wade in the way it was written.
Right. Basically the framework of it.
Yeah, she wanted it written in a different way. Yet she supported it every time it came up for everything. Well, how can you say you're against the way it's written and then vote for it every time it came up in any way, shape, or form?
Well,
a hypocrite.
Basically, what she did with that is essentially say, I don't like the way it's written, but I certainly support the killing of babies, so we'll just go with it, you know?
Right.
I mean...
And it's just... She supported late-term abortion. This is the person they're honoring, killing babies that when you abort them, they're alive, and you just leave them there to die? I mean, this is what this woman supported.
I mean, it's really uncivilized when you get right down to it.
It's murder.
You know, you look at everything she stood for. Did she do some good for women's rights? And I mean back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Equal pay for equal work. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But man, I'm telling you, once she got to the Supreme Court level or even, after a few years in the federal court, at the federal court level, she was nothing but an activist judge. She was a legislate from the bench kind of judge.
Right. And we can't have these kind of people. You're going to be a Supreme Court justice. You need to honor and respect and go by the rule of law. The rule of law is the Constitution. It's not the Democrat Party or Nancy Pelosi or AOC or Chucky the Clown. It's the Constitution.
That's it.
She didn't follow it.
No, and you won't find any liberal judges on the court that will. You know, Joe Biden will not release any list of potential nominees he would make were he to win the upcoming election. You can bet that idiot judge from Hawaii would be on his list.
How about Obama on his list?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even the Moo.
Eric Holder.
Right.
Eric Holder would be on the list.
Mm-hmm. You might as well just throw the Constitution away if this group of nutcases ever got the majority.
I mean, that's the ilk of Supreme Court justices you would have were the liberals to win the White House.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no two ways around it. Now, so far, President Trump has picked Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll find out tomorrow exactly who he picks for this seat. Right. There could be one, possibly two, more picks coming for in the next four-year term.
Right. And maybe Clarence Thomas is one of them, because he has spoken in the past about retiring. I hope he does not retire, because he's a true constitutionalist. But you got to leave that open. And you know the other one, Craig.
Well, the other one would be yet another liberal judge, mm-hmm. I believe. And boy, oh boy, that is something that has the liberals terrified, right, of an Obama victory, because there's...
An Obama victory?
I mean a Trump victory, because it wouldn't be an Obama judge,
right,
that would get appointed to that spot. So, you know, you look at this. Now, Clarence Thomas, okay, I agree with you. He's a great constitutionalist, brilliant jurist, okay? But he might retire to make, if Trump wins, he might retire to make room for a younger constitutionalist who would be there a lot longer than he will be at this point.
That's very true. And you want to know something? Trump, the top two people that Trump is considering for tomorrow are two women.
Right.
One woman will get it and one woman will not. They will not get it now. But I bet you they come up in the next round.
Oh, I'll bet you're right. Yeah. Absolutely, I'll bet you're right. You know, so with this pick, whichever woman it is, with this pick, it's another conservative constitutionalist judge.
Yes.
Okay, it will eliminate the swing vote from John Roberts.
And that's a big thing. He sides with Republicans sometimes. He sides with Democrats other times. And yes, you have to take each case on its merits based on the Constitution. And maybe in a couple of those cases, he felt it went against the Constitution. I don't know. But that would eliminate, you know, Roberts crossing over to the other side. At least I believe so.
Well, it would, because there would be no swing vote anymore.
Right. Right.
You know, and so you don't really have to worry as much. Now, we've said it before. We've both written about it. We've talked about it on the show. You're never going to be 100% satisfied with every ruling, every even constitutional Supreme Court justice makes.
Right.
Okay? They interpret the Constitution and how the law fits or doesn't fit the Constitution.
At least that's what they're supposed to do.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do. And so far, that's what we've seen. Now, are some people, have they been mad in the past year or so with Brett Kavanaugh or with Neil Gorsuch? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some people on our side have been a little worked up over a couple of the decisions they've made. But they make them on a constitutional basis according to how the law is written that they're right. adjudicating, okay? You know, and so sometimes you shouldn't get mad at the constitutional judge. You should get mad at whoever wrote the law.
Right. Right.
You know, that's the thing. So nobody's ever going to be 100% thrilled with every decision that comes down the pike. I don't care how great the judge is. Okay, you're not going to be thrilled with it every time.
No, they're not. It's very hard today in today's world, because no matter how a conservative rules, even if they follow just the letter of the law of the Constitution, they're going to get crucified by the left.
Right.
And that's just exactly reality right. in today's political climate.
Folks, we got a lot more to talk about tonight. It's a 90-minute show. We got an hour left. We got to take a bottom-of-the-hour break here, get a station ID in. Hopefully, the Sam's broadcaster is going to cooperate. with the station IDs here. And if it does, and even if it doesn't, we're going to be back with more on Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Hey, it all worked the right way. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Friday night, the Friday night before the big SCOTUS nomination announcement coming tomorrow. 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow is when the president will make that announcement. Then we'll all know who it is. We'll all know who the next Supreme Court justice will be, because they will be confirmed.
I just hope, you know, there's been a lot of scuttlebug back and forth that, yes, he'll announce the nomination tomorrow. They'll have the Senate hearings. And then if they dare to vote, all hell is going to break loose, because it should go after the election. Some sites are saying Trump has agreed to that. Other sites are saying he hasn't. I believe Trump will say, the hell with you guys. I have every legal and constitutional right to do this. Let's do the vote.
Well, I think he will. And one of the primary reasons that I think he will is this election will be contested.
Oh, we know that.
So it'll wind up at the Supreme Court. You do not want a 4-4 vote, because then it drops down to a lower court, and God knows, you know, what kind of crap you get into in a lower court situation. But knowing the contentiousness of this election and citing the threats that have been made by the left, okay, they're all crispied up over the fact that Trump said, well, you know, we'll wait and see what happens in the election as far as transition of power.
Yeah.
They're all crispied up about that on the left, but the fact of the matter is they've been making wild threats and wild accusations for weeks.
Right, and the only one who delayed a transition of power was Hillary.
That's it. That's
it. Her whining and crying and drunken binge. I'm not conceding.
Well, if you go back to the year 2000, Al Gore pulled a stupid stunt
Al Gore and his hanging Chad nonsense.
You know, and I mean, that drug things out for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Months.
While they were sitting there holding voting cards in your great state of Florida up to the light and examining them with microscopes and, you know, I mean, good grief. And, you know, like him or hate him, at least George W. Bush just got on with things.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. I mean, the only way this can go uncontested if by some miracle on election night, Trump actually won all 50 states.
Well, but see, that's the problem. We're not going to know on election night because Michigan and Pennsylvania have said they're going to take an extra 2 to 3 weeks to count their ballots after election night.
Yeah, they're going to, you know, check postmarks and this and that and drag it out. But you know something, Craig? We can still get a pretty good idea like we did last time by the numbers, the county numbers.
Well, we can.
We can call it, I think, with pretty good accuracy.
Well, we may be able to. And the reason I say may is because we don't yet know if Pennsylvania and Michigan are going to release any numbers that night.
I think legally they have to.
I don't know. They're saying they're going to count ballots after election night. I don't know. I mean, if they can release some numbers, we'll have a good idea of which direction it's heading. But you're absolutely right, Diane. If it's a blowout, I mean, if it's a blowout, we're going to be able to call it.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, what people forget, too, is whether the Democrats like it or not, the election does not hang on popular vote or majority vote. It hangs on the Electoral College. And if we get the states right like we did last time, and Texas and Florida and even the Carolinas and some of the major Midwestern states, if they all come in line with Trump, sorry, guys, it's over.
Ohio would be, you know, a big player in that. Wisconsin would be a big player in that. Nebraska, with our 2 electoral votes, will be a player. it's one of those things that, you know, we'll just have to keep an eye on as that night progresses. And, folks, you'll want to tune in to Right Side Patriots at rspradio1.com on election night. Diane and I will be doing it live. We'll be tallying figures and keeping an eye on individual state maps and county maps and district maps, just like we've done in the past. And you know, if you're tired of the talking heads on television, if you're tired of the same old thing every election night, tune in to Right Side Patriots, rspradio1.com. You'll be in for a treat, I guarantee it.
And let me tell you something, folks. In 2016, we called it 3 hours before any station did, and we had the numbers to back it up when we called it for Trump.
When we called it, they had not yet finished with the electoral count.
Right.
Okay. And we said, this is what it looks like it's going to be at the end of the night. And we gave the numbers. We were off by 2. Right. Electoral votes.
Right. But that was still way ahead, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so, you know, we called it at about, it was just before 10 o'clock. And they didn't, none of the national news called it until about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, we'll be at it again. We'll have our calculators out and we'll have our pencils out. You know, but I mean, we don't have a staff. I don't have a staff. Diane might have a staff.
I don't have a staff.
So it's just us. It's just you and me.
Right. We have a lot of monitors coming in, you know, TV monitors and stuff. And we have our contacts.
Yeah.
But we do it all on our own.
So it'll be an interesting night. Could be a long night. Hopefully it'll be a short night, but, you know, that's yet to be seen. So the Ruth Bader Ginsburg death, the nomination of somebody for that seat coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the two most likely people to fill that, the two women who are right at the very tippy top of the list. Mm-hmm. And what is the knock? What are the rumors that are swirling around on social media now regarding Amy Coney Barrett and Barbara Lagoa?
Okay. Well, Sharon McGowan, she's the legal director of the LGBTQ blah, blah, blah civil rights organization, Lambda Legal. She has said of those women, those two women, they are the antithetical to the principles of equality and liberty that Justice Ginsburg championed on the court.
Well, good.
That's very good. That's very good.
That's great. That's great news.
Yes.
I'd be terribly worried if they weren't the antithesis of Ruth Bader. Yeah.
Well, she didn't actually. She said anti-ethical. I mean, this woman, that's why I got tongue-tied there for a minute, because she's not using the right word.
Yeah, what she means is antithetical.
Correct.
Is what she means, you know.
Right.
I don't. Maybe she's using spell check on her phone. I don't know.
Yeah,
Auto spell.
It threw me off there for a second because I'm like, this isn't the right word, but I wanted to do her quote the way she wrote it, you know.
Auto spell will never trip me up. I don't do that.
Ah.
That's another thing I don't do with my smartphone.
But basically, I mean, this is a great honor to these two women.
It really is. They should be very proud.
Yes.
You know, but what is the, let's look at Barbara Lagoa first. Okay. There have been rumors swirling around. You've seen them on Facebook. I've seen them on Facebook and other social media. There are people out there that are saying she was somehow involved in a situation with none other than Jeffrey Epstein?
It's ridiculous. Way back when he was first arrested, we're talking a decade or more before the whole big thing came out about him, he had gotten a sentence that he... basically, it was a sort of country club type jailing, as they refer to them. And she, from Florida, had worked in the office, you know, in the beginning of her career, basically. I'm not sure of the specifics because there's too many different things coming in and each one is contradicting the other. But she had nothing to do with the adjudication of his case.
Well, in that case, as I recall, that's where, you know, he was charged with all this stuff, and then nothing ever came of it. And
right.
the federal court in Florida, or Florida court, basically let him off the hook and set it up so that no other charges, or he could not be recharged with any of that stuff, even though he never actually went through the whole trial process.
He couldn't be recharged with those charges, but
right.
He could be charged with other charges, and that's how they got him.
Which led him to not committing suicide.
To not committing suicide, right.
Right.
You know, a little Hillary aside there, right?
But Lagoa never had anything to do with it. She was in the part of the law office, but she wasn't a higher up on that case. She wasn't the one that set up that deal.
Not in the least. Not in the least. I mean, this is the smear tactics the left just pulls out of nothing. The same thing happened with Amy Comey Barrett. Look at the stuff they pulled up about her, which was not true.
Well, and we've seen this now. It's hard to tell, to be honest. It's hard to tell whether this stuff is coming from the left or some right-wing nuts. Okay,
or
but
some
the
anti-Catholic sites. Both women are Roman Catholics.
Yeah, or anti-Trump sites. There are, correct, you know, still never Trumpers out there. Okay, so the knock on Amy Coney Barrett was that she would recuse herself from death penalty cases. It's BS.
Right. She just sat on one not long ago and voted that the person the death sentence was given, it should be upheld.
Now, that all stems from the fact that she's a Catholic.
Right.
All right? And they're saying, well, because she's a Catholic, she would have to recuse herself. But if you look at the what the Catholic Church says about it, they say, and I'm going to try and trim this down because, boy, I tell you, it was a long thing that I read on it the other day. But what the Catholic Church says about it is, if you're a judge and a person comes before you who's been accused of murder, who's been convicted of murder, and you, as the judge, as a Catholic, are the one that has to pronounce the sentence. In other words, it's not a jury that mandates the sentence, it's the judge, and the judge happens to be Catholic. Then you should, not that you must, but you should come down on the side of life without parole, not the death penalty. Okay? However, the Catholic Church says, if you are a judge that is hearing an appeal, which would be any appellate court or any federal court up to and including the Supreme Court, and the penalty of death has already been imposed, if you uphold that, you are simply agreeing with the court that imposed it, and therefore there is no issue as far as the church is concerned.
Right. It's, well, let's put it this way. There is a very respected woman. Her name is Carrie Severino. She's president of the Judicial Crisis Network, and she's a veteran strategist of Supreme Court confirmations. And what she said, both Barrett and Lagoa have really good records of adhering to the rule of law, and that she and the organization support either one of them. And that's the crux of it, guys. Your personal views, these two women have stated they will not do their rulings based upon their personal religious beliefs, but upon the rule of law.
Well, and you know, I haven't heard a lot of quotes or testimony from Barbara Lagoa with regard to that, but Amy Coney Barrett is on record saying that very thing, that that, you know, her religious views or her religious faith would not dictate her sense of jurisprudence, and she seems pretty firm with that, and she has the record to back it up.
Right, and Lagoa has that record in Florida. She's been a judge for, I believe, about 18 years now, coming up through the courts until Governor DeSantis put her on the main Florida appellate court and everything. She's also a brilliant woman, and if Barrett gets it this time, I think she would be up down the road for it.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. You know, and there will be at least, I'm sure, at least one more Supreme Court nomination to come in the next 4 years, possibly two. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. And yeah, whoever doesn't get it this time is definitely going to be on that very, very short list the next time.
Now, there is a strange sort of conundrum with this. And I'm going to say this, and I'm basing it on politics, folks. I think either woman would be fantastic. They have proven themselves. I will support whatever woman Trump picks. But I think politically, it's my opinion, because this election is so highly contentious, it's going to be contested, and it's gonna come down to the Supreme Court. We just know it, folks. Florida right now is said to be the key to this election. That's what all the odds makers are saying. We have 29 electoral votes. By nominating Lagoa would be a very smart political move, because I believe it would assure Trump of those 29 votes.
Well, you know,
for right or wrong, I'm looking at the big picture. We've got to get that court on our side for when the election is contested.
And it will be.
And it will be.
You know, we know that. Okay, so let me play devil's advocate here, because I don't honestly disagree with you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let me be the devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. While you're right that politically it would be a smart move,
mm-hmm.
does the president want to make a political pick? Does he want that to be the thing that gets talked about in this nomination?
It would only be a strictly political pick if he picked somebody that wasn't qualified.
Well,
but because Lagoa is qualified, it's a plus politically, but it's also a plus constitutionally, because she has said the same thing as Barrett has.
Right.
I will always follow the rule of law. In her case, I think the political aspect is sort of like the cherry on top of a cake.
That's my point exactly. Both women are eminently qualified for the
yes.
position. There is
yes.
no two ways around it. I don't think either one of them has an edge over the other.
Mm-hmm.
From a qualification standpoint.
I agree.
Therefore, if you're going to weight it, or you're going to lean at Barbara Lagoa in this pick, the only reason to do that is for the political reason. I'm not convinced that President Trump will want to make what is an obvious political pick going into an election year. And for that reason, as the devil's advocate, I'm saying he might go with Amy Coney Barrett.
There's another aspect to that. We all know how important the Latino vote is, the Hispanic vote is in this election. You know, originally the Democrats threw the blacks under the bus in favor of the illegals. And the law-abiding Hispanics got thrown under the bus as well. Our country has a very, very, very large percentage of Latinos. And many surveys have been done. The Latinos favor Lagoa.
Right.
Now, she is a Latino. Her parents came here legally, were naturalized citizens, and she was born here in South Florida. That's also going to play well with Latinos across the country.
Well,
and
it's a good point.
I'm not saying Trump is going to think like this by any means, but I'm trying to do, Craig, what you and I do really good. We step back and we look at the big picture and the pros and cons. Both women are eminently qualified. Both women will make great constitutionalist judges. But we got to get one of them confirmed. We've got to get that vote taken, and screw you Democrats. Will that go forward easier with Lagoa or with Barrett? I don't know. I think the odds makers are saying Barrett's going to get the nomination, which is fine. But I'm just thinking that at this point, how dirty this election has become thanks to the Democrats.
Well, I look.
Any little ace in his pocket that Trump can use, if Lagoa was not qualified and he picked her just for that reason, no, that's bad. But I really, she plays better with the black voters the Hispanic voters, the Latino voters. She would help bring Florida over to Trump. And if the odds makers are saying, if it's true that Florida is going to be the determiner of the election, I'm looking at the big picture of the country.
Well, and like I said, I don't disagree with you. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the confirmation, I don't think it makes any difference which one.
Right.
You know, that's going to go through no matter which one gets picked, because it's all upside with both of them as far as qualifications. There's really no downside there. And as far as that's concerned, there's no downside to Amy Coney Barrett, but there might be extra credit, let's call it, with mm-hmm. Barbara Lagoa, based on what you're talking about, based on the fact that she is Hispanic, she is from Florida. You know, I just don't know if the president is going to want to make a pick based on the things that are the most important to liberals. You know, I mean, and let's face it, they always want to separate out people by race, mm-hmm. you know, people by this, that, and the other thing. They're always looking for the political angle. They're always, you know, I'm not sure the president wants to do that. We're going to find out tomorrow afternoon. And either way it goes, it's going to be fine, because either one of them is going to be a great Supreme Court justice.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. But what people forget, you know, this whole thing with race. Barbara Lagoa is whiter than we are.
Okay? I know.
Hispanics, unless you're mixed Hispanic or black Hispanic, Hispanics are white folks.
Well, they're all Caucasians.
That Craig and I are.
You know, it's not a matter really of skin color. It's a matter of heritage.
Correct.
You
There's
know,
a big difference between heritage and skin color.
And heritage is a big thing in the Latino community.
Right.
You know, it's a big key factor in the Latino community.
Right.
Heritage means a lot, especially to people from what like you say, she was born in South Florida. The Latinos that come from where she comes from, they consider that North Cuba. Okay. But, you know, the Cuban people, these are great people, the Cuban people.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, heritage is everything to these people, because they've had everything
out of there.
Well, but what I'm saying,
qualifications.
Well, I am, but you know what I'm saying is, this isn't about, you know, who's going to make a better Supreme Court justice. Now, this is about what you called the political end of this, and what would carry more voters to Trump. You know, people that come from where her parents came from, mm-hmm. had everything taken away from them aside from their heritage.
Right.
Okay, that's why it's such a big deal. And that's why it may carry more voters. So, Diane, you make a great point, you know, mm-hmm. when you do that. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Qualifications-wise, it's a push. It's a right. coin toss.
And there's one thing people need to know about this woman, and people in Florida know this name, Ilian Gonzalez.
Ah.
Okay. She fought tooth and nail against the AG. Oh, God, what was her name now?
Oh, the woman, yeah. Now you got me flustered. But, yeah,
Janet Reno, thank you. Yeah. I had a Biden moment there, folks. What can I say? Barbara Lagoa gave her services pro bono to the Gonzalez family here in Miami and fought Reno tooth and nail to get Ilian Gonzalez to stay here, because that's what his mother wanted. She risked her life to get her son here, and that creep Reno took him away from the family that the mother wanted him to be with and sent him back to Cuba, where he's now a talking head for Castro. That, just the fact of what she did then, plays very well down here.
I'm sure it does. We're going to find out whether it's Amy Coney Barrett or Barbara Logano tomorrow at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. That's when the announcement comes down. And if we know anything at all about President Trump, it'll more likely be at about 5:15.
True. And it'll probably be Barrett. And that's a great choice. According to what all the odds makers are saying. But, you know, Craig, Trump is not your typical politician. There were four or five people that he interviewed for this job. Wouldn't it be a kick in the head if someone whom none of us expect is his pick?
You can't. I'm telling you, I don't know how the odds makers in Vegas handle the things that Trump might do, because you never know.
Right.
You never know. Look, folks, we got to take a top of the hour break here, get a station ID in, and then we'll be back with one more segment. We're talking about Quantum Shift in the Court, part two tonight.
Yes.
So stay tuned. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
OTC is go.
Bank of business is go.
PTC is go.
CPS is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night edition of the show, special report, A Quantum Shift in the Court, Part 2. Folks, if you haven't been over to RSPRadio1.com, the website, you're missing out. You're missing out big time. We got a lot of stuff on there. We update it all the time. And I know for a fact, because I was over there just kind of snooping through there today to see what Diane put up on there. And I know she was over there snooping to see what I put up on there today. But we've
especially
got
in the science section.
Yeah, we're science geeks. Diane and I are science geeks. There's no doubt about it. There's always interesting stuff going on science-wise. Always some kind of fun, funky, weird stuff going on science-wise. Technology-wise, we got a technology page in there. We've got history page in there. What else do we have? Business.
Lock and load.
Oh, that's our Second Amendment page, lock and load.
Yes, political cartoons, election 2020 information, technology, history. I mean,
well,
we've got a lot in there.
And let's not forget, we've got articles from your favorite Right Side Patriots. We've got Patriot Factor articles. We've got National Patriot articles. Diane Sorey, Craig Andreessen, you know, us, two people talking to you on the air. We also have a podcast. Yeah, and we also have podcasts on there. So if you miss any part of the show, you go to rspradio1.com, hit the podcast button. It brings up our archives over at Podbean. We love our beaners. And you can listen to any of the shows, take your pick, and listen to them at your leisure.
Right.
All right, so let's get back to this. We got, the better part of a half-hour segment here left to go on the show tonight. We're talking about, obviously, the Supreme Court nomination coming up tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 o'clock here in the Central Time Zone, the only time zone that really matters to the rest of the world. And, well, it does because, you know, this is Nebraska. Nebraska is cut in half on time zones, too, by the way, folks.
Yeah, you that's true. Well, so's Florida.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, part of the panhandle is in your time zone.
Wow. So yeah. Part of Florida is up to speed. Okay. But yeah, we're talking about this because it's coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a big deal because, Diane, I think all hell's going to break loose.
I do too. And tomorrow night's going to be a scary night.
You know what's going to hit the fan?
Yes.
This nomination is going to come down the pike tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon. And I think the liberals are just in a frenzy about it already. It's irrational. It's mm-hmm. definitely Trump derangement syndrome. There's no other way to look at it. But I think the barbaric action over this, the uncouthness, the uncivilized actions are going to kick up as soon as this is made. I think you're going to see people take to the streets, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more arson and violence because of it.
Well, you know what? In the Democrat cities, it's becoming a nightly event.
Well, it has, and that's a really sad thing.
It's very sad. But you know what's even sadder? People forget the little something called the Constitution. And while the First Amendment gives us a right to protest, they forget key words in that First Amendment. It's the right to peaceably assemble. Rioting, looting, burning, murdering, etc. is not peaceably assembling. I think it's way past time that we send our troops in there and end this nonsense once and for all. This is not peaceably assembling.
I say November 4th. Do it on November 4th. Win or lose, really, because at that point, the president has nothing to lose. Let's say, let's just go crazy here. Okay, let's act like brainless twits here and say that Biden wins in a landslide.
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, yeah, but I've been spiking it, so it's okay. you know, but let's say that happens. President Trump has nothing to lose. So, right. You know, put the Insurrection Act into play and send in the federal troops. If Trump wins by a landslide, he's the president for the next 4 years. Send in the federal troops.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and another part of this, when this is over, and eventually it will end with this rioting and stuff, and those mayors and governors come crawling on their knees, please give me money to rebuild my cities. If it's President Trump who is reelected, which I expect him to be, I hope he looks at them and tells them, you allowed it, you created it, now you fix it. I don't want one bloody dime of my taxpayer dollars going to help those cities.
You know, I can remember going into stores when I was a kid, and if they had fragile things in the store, you always saw a sign that says, you broke it, you bought it.
Right.
That's the same way I feel about these blue states and these blue cities. They broke it, they should pay for it.
Yes.
You know, plain and simple. Now, let's look again at the two most likely nominees.
Okay.
All right. Either one of them, both constitutionalists. Diane, yes. What do you think is going to be the top thing brought up by liberals at their confirmation hearing? Name one thing that you think is going to be at the Easy. Top of the list. Go ahead.
Easy. Abortion.
Okay. And explain.
The Democrats have made the past few elections about abortion. They haven't let up at all in their fight for abortion. In fact, they've expanded it where now if a baby is born alive and the mother doesn't want it, you know, they can abort it after birth. I think for them, this remains number one, or at least in the public venue, it's number one. Okay. Whether it's number one behind the scenes, I'm not sure. I think abortion.
Nope. You only get one. I get the other one. Okay.
No, I'm giving a 1A.
No, that's not fair.
You could give a 2B.
What if my 2B is your 1A?
I don't think it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
Getting rid of the Electoral College.
Okay, I got a different one.
Okay, good. See?
All right. But I'm not talking about the general public. Okay, I'm not talking about the garden variety people out there. I'm not talking about the social media people out there. I'm saying what is the number one thing they're going to get drilled on in the confirmation hearings by the Democrats on the panel?
Okay.
And you're going to go with abortion and possibly the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think you're right there. Okay. But here's mine.
Okay.
Obamacare. And I'll explain this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. It's right up there.
I think they're going to go ape crap on the Obamacare thing, because Obamacare is coming up in this Supreme Court session. It's already on the docket coming up when they start up in October. And what they're terrified of, what these liberals are terrified of right now, is that the Supreme Court will make a decision that the individual mandate, the penalty phase, if you don't have Obamacare, is unconstitutional, and B, therefore, the rest of the law falls apart, and the whole thing will be deemed unconstitutional. Now, see, they're terrified of this because they invested everything. Obama bribed senators and House mm-hmm. members to vote in favor of Obamacare in the dark of night, just to get it passed. If they deem the whole thing null and void because the individual mandate has been deemed unconstitutional, Obamacare is gone.
Right. No, I think you're right about that. I think it's right up there. I think Obamacare might actually be number one and abortion number two. It's very possible.
Again, I think it's a coin toss, to be honest with you, and I think they'll go back and forth. I think every liberal that gets up there will drill on those two topics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to froth at the mouth, and I think they're going to vibrate, and their hair's going to be on fire, they're going to be red in the face, and their eyes are going to be bugging out. This is the way liberals behave in these situations. Right. Now, because both of these women that are at the top of the list are eminently qualified, both are constitutionalist judges, either one of them would be just fine sitting on the bench on the high court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think is going to be the approach? Not necessarily the topics are going to get drilled on. What do you think the approach of the liberals, both in the Judiciary Committee and the floor of the Senate, is going to be when this comes to the floor and into the Judiciary Committee? What do you think the mindset of liberals is going to be during those hearings?
Kavanaugh in a dress. They're going to go after whoever the nominee is. They're going to go after her like they went after Kavanaugh.
Smear campaign
right up and down the line.
Character assassination?
Yep. They're going to have to maybe phrase it a little bit different than they did with Kavanaugh, but I think they're going to go after their Catholic faith. I think they're going to go big time after their views on the death penalty and abortion. And I think they're going to throw nothing back, hold nothing back. And they're going to see if they can break one of those women to try to get them, whoever it is, to cry on the floor. Now, here's a little something. Fox is now in the sites, Craig, that you and I can get into. They are saying that it's Amy Comey Barrett. How much could we trust Fox at this point? We know that they're going, you know, more and more left every day.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think in this case they're probably right because they don't have a left choice to pick from here.
Sure.
You know, look, either one of these two women, Amy Comey Barrett or Barbara Lagoa. Mm-hmm. I always want to put an N in there.
Ah, okay.
But Barbara Lagoa, either one of them would be fantastic. I have thought for a long time that it would be Amy Comey Barrett, personally.
Yeah.
I can see your reasoning, clearly see your reasoning for Barbara Lagoa. I honestly can. And mm-hmm. I have just thought for a long time it's going to be Amy Comey Barrett. In fact, in January of last year, 2019, I wrote an article in the National Patriot called The Ginsburg Gambit.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I picked Amy Comey Barrett as the replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, in an article that I had done around the same time, as soon as we knew that the choice was between Kavanaugh and Barrett, I also said, hey, she didn't get it this time. She's going to get it next time.
Yeah. I mean look, and I guarantee you, if this is correct, and we believe that it probably is Amy Coney Barrett, okay?
Yeah, and I have no problem. Absolutely Barbara, no problem with that.
Barbara Lagoa will be the next one. She'll be right, the next nominee down the road.
Okay, now they're saying, breaking news, President Trump to nominate Amy Coney Barrett. I keep wanting to call her Bryant for some reason. To Supreme Court, according to sources. Oh, they're also not naming their sources.
Well, in this case, you know, it's an inside leak from somewhere, but I'll tell you right now, it's Amy Coney Barrett.
Officially,
we will know
the very beginning. My thing is, maybe there is another aspect to the obvious, because with Trump, you just don't know. He's not a politician. We can't read him like a politician.
No, nobody can, and nobody should try, because you'll hurt your head.
Yes, you will.
You know,
we tried, folks.
You know, the best way to get a grip on what he's going to do is think of what you think he's going to do, and then go off in a little different direction.
Yeah.
You know, but Amy Coney Barrett, this looks like it's the choice. We'll know for sure at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon Eastern time. But, you know, they're going to go at her. You're absolutely right. They're going to go at her like there's no tomorrow. They're going to try to break her up there. And I guarantee you,
yep,
I guarantee you this woman's going to be as tough as nails. And I think, I really believe she must have watched what they did to Brett Kavanaugh. And when Brett Kavanaugh gave them hell, when he sat there and pointed his finger and he shouted them down and he got stern with those idiot liberals on the floor of the Senate, when he called them out, I think Amy Coney Barrett, and I think every possible Supreme Court nominee for the near future watched that and thought, that's the way you handle them. And if I'm ever in that position, by God, they come at me like that, I'm going to give as good as I get, and I'm going to take them on head on. And I believe either one of these two ladies, in this case, Amy Coney Barrett, will do exactly that.
I think she will too. And if that's his choice, it's a great choice.
You know, she's what, 48, 49 years old? She could be sitting on the bench for 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we need a conservative on the bench. We cannot let the liberals take over this country. We just can't. This country will not exist as we know and love it. It will become socialist, leaning towards communist. The freedoms we now enjoy will be taken away one by one. This election is one of the most important elections ever.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I have a very important question for you.
Okay.
Okay. At the very beginning of the show tonight, and if you don't believe me, folks, if you're just tuning in and you missed the very beginning of the show, you can go back, you can go to rspradio1.com, click the Podbean thing tomorrow morning, and you can listen to the very beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Diane, you talked about, at the very beginning of the show, this woman who's part of the LGBTQEIEIO.
Yeah.
That said that either one of these women, or both of these women, are antithetical. That's not really the way she spelled it, but it's what she meant. Antithetical, right, to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So right. Here's my question. Being that they are the exact opposite of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, does this mean, do you think this means, that Amy Coney Barrett will not fall asleep during a State of the Union address?
I kind of think so.
Because really, I mean, you take the abortion thing out of it, you take the Catholic thing out of it, you take the death penalty out of it, you take Obamacare out of it, you take all that crap out of it, and the only real question that needs to be answered here is, can she stay awake during a State of the Union address?
I think not only will she stay awake, I think she'll actually stand up and applaud as Trump gives the State of the Union address.
You know, I'd love to see that, but I think she's got too much decorum in her to do that. You know, I mean, the Supremes, they sit there like statues. I mean, you get more emotion out of Mount Rushmore than you do out of the Supremes in any kind of a public setting.
But you know what? After what these 4 years have been, and I wouldn't even be opposed to Trump running again in 2024, because this whole first term of his, he has done nothing but fight impeachment, 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 impeachment. You know, he wasn't allowed to govern the way he should have been allowed to govern. So if the Supreme Court wanted to stand up and cheer for him, by all means, do it.
Well, you know, you and I both know he can't run for a third term.
I know, I'm saying it.
And, you know, I understand what you're saying. You know, I mean, they have dogged him, you know, night and day, nonstop.
Before he put his hand on the Bible.
Oh, yeah, we're going to impeach him.
I guess maybe they wanted him to pull out a Koran or something, but he didn't do that.
You know, but they've been merciless with him, and stupidly so.
Yes. Okay.
But he has accomplished a couple of things in this term.
Yes, he got our economy going great before the Chinese virus showed up here.
He got manufacturing jobs to come back. More black people and more Hispanic people, more women employed than ever before, and at higher wages. And then there's that little thing that really is kind of meaningless in the great scheme of things, the work he's done over in the Middle East.
Oh, you know, that pesky little thing that he's nominated for 2 Nobel Peace Prizes. Yeah, he did the impossible there. No one said the Arab nations would ever side with Israel. And here's a little side note about that, Craig, that I just got the deal with the UAE and Israel.
Yeah.
Well, now two astronauts from the UAE will be training here to possibly go up and work at the space station.
Wow. Arabs in space.
Yeah. But these are not your, you know, Arab Arabs. These are highly educated from the UAE.
Well, if they were Allahu Akbarians, we'd let them go up there, but on the outside of the castle.
On the outside, yeah.
Look, the era of cooperation and peace and stability in the Middle East is underway.
It's beginning. Yes.
You know, this is a great beginning to this, you know. And when you look at the whole thing, when you look at President Trump's first term, and you think about all the different accomplishments, all of the things that he has done in this first term, he's done while having to fight off the idiots from the left in his own country and the media.
Right. And, yeah, especially the media. That's why I'm saying, let him run for a third term. I know he can't, guys.
You know, I mean, it's phenomenal. And then you take all of that stuff and you throw into it the fact that he has successfully nominated and seated well over 200 conservative judges in federal courts and three, soon to be, mm-hmm. Supreme Court justices of the constitutional conservative bent.
Yes.
You know, this has been a tremendous first term. And
absolutely.
What's going to be? Oh, go ahead.
In the end, Craig, history is going to view the Trump presidency different than the Democrats want it to be viewed as.
Oh, you know it. You know it. This is going to be fun. And I'm not saying the violence and the rhetoric and the idiocy from the left is going to be fun. What's going to be fun is watching this process. The nomination at 5 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, then the Judiciary Committee hearings in the Senate, and then the confirmation hearing at the full Senate. This is going to happen quickly. I think this judge, Amy Coney Barrett, will be seated within 3 weeks.
Oh, I think so, too. But you know what else I'm looking forward to? And I mean, I'm going to have my popcorn and I'm going to have my tissues there because I'm going to be laughing so hard. Tears are going to be coming out of my eyes. It's Tuesday's debate.
Tuesday's debate is going to be a debacle. And folks,
yes,
Tuesday... Tuesday night, it's another talkie show. We're not doing articles for Tuesday. We're going to talk about the debate on Tuesday's show. We'll be done. We'll be wrapped up before the debate starts, so you won't miss. You won't miss any of the festivities of the great debate. And we're not going to get into it tonight. We're going to save it for Tuesday night. But yeah, that's going to be a hoot.
Yeah, and then Friday we'll have new articles and we'll do a 2-hour show, but we've got to get through this, guys, because Tuesday is going to be a laugh fest like you've never seen.
So we got that to look forward to. And folks, we want to thank you for being a part of the show tonight, whether you're listening live or whether you're tuning into the Podbean podcast down the road on this one. We thank you for being here. Please go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, check out Diane's articles, go to thenationalpatriot.com, check out my articles, or better yet, go to rspradio1.com, and you've got links to get into either one of those two blogs right there on the homepage.
Right.
That's right. The way you do it. And with that, Diane, I think you and I are about ready for a weekend. What do you think?
I'm ready for some ice cream, I know that.
I've got flea markets to go visit tomorrow before I get back to see the nominations. So, folks, you have a great weekend. Diane, you have a great weekend. I'll work at it myself, and we'll see everybody on Tuesday, or Friday, yes. Tuesday. Say goodnight, Tuesday. Diane.
Okay, nighty-night, guys.
Good night, everybody.